That's all the update this morning. Silence your phones. The unknown does not have to be daunting. I want you to look at that, please, because it can be. The unknown can, you can get anxious. The unknown is frightening at times. Because I've come to the conclusion, you know that by now, because you're human, life is filled with unknowns. Think about that for a moment. Life is filled with unknowns. What do we actually know? What do we know about life? What do we know about the heavens? What do we know about the underground, hell, Sheol? What do we know? What do we know about God? What do we know about the angels? What do we know about demons? Everything is so limited and most of it unknown. What do we know about the UFOs? Only what the files show us. And you know what? Life is filled with unknowns and it's never going to change. Can't change. But there is a way to live life unafraid of an unknown future. What do you know about the future? It's coming. Thanks, duh. It's coming. And then when it comes, it's what? History. We don't know much about the future, except what the Word of God tells us. So for the graduates, the unknown lies ahead of them. What do they know? Oh, they've got an idea what they want to do. They don't know who they're going to meet. They don't know who the teachers are going to be as they study further. There's just so many unknowns. For all of us, the graduates included, there is very little that we know about the rest of today. What do you know about the rest of today? What's the guarantee we're going to make it? There are no guarantees. It's unknown. It's unknown. What do we know about tomorrow? What if it comes, it's Monday. But what do we know? Nothing much. And so I can go down the list. What about the week? What about the year? What about your finances? What do you know about your health? Nothing. Nothing. It looks good now. But tomorrow? Next week? I've got a pain. Wow, this is serious stuff. And so we recognize the unknowns are there. One consolation in the unknown, there is someone that can be known. And that person that can be known can help you through the unknown. And that's why it's so important to get to know the person that can be known. Some who desires to be known is God. Someone who desires to be known is God. God is not discovered. God reveals himself. And someone that when you know him, you can face the unknown future unafraid. And then once you know him, God, through Jesus Christ, then you can sing the old Gaither song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And that dates you too now. Now I know how old you are. Because some of you have not even heard about the Gaithers. One of my favorite sayings is, look at the screen. Read it together. Life. Take a picture of that. Remind yourself of that. Life is an adventure to be lived, not a problem to be solved. But you can only live life in Jesus Christ. There is no life apart from Christ. There's existence, but not life. Because Jesus is the giver of life. And if you have the giver of life in you, life is an adventure to be lived and not a problem to be solved. And that's why I know him. And because I know him, I can face tomorrow. As most of you know, and today is a little different because of the graduates as well, and we want to just build them up and encourage them and encourage every single one of us about the unknown. As many of you know, Heather and I try to take little afternoon breaks as often as we can. When there's an opportunity, boom, off we go. Sometimes it happens at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, all the appointments? There's no appointments. Let's get out of this place. Or sometimes we might start at 11 o'clock, very seldom much earlier, because we'll handle some things. So we go. We go fill up the car, and off we go. Where are we going to? I don't know. No plan? We just drive. How do you know where to go? I don't know. Let's just take a right. Where's the right going to go? I don't know. Let's see where it takes us. Then we find another one. Let's go left. Why do we want to go left? I don't know. Because I don't want to go right. Let's go left. And so we land up at places we've never seen before. And so we discover places we never knew existed. And it's a great break. Friday afternoon was a typical example. But there are times when Heather would say, "We've lost. We are lost." I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, do you know where you're going?" I said, "No." "Well, then you're lost." I said, "No, I'm not lost. I'm on an adventure. I'm not lost." And so, you know, the next thing, can you please just stop and find directions, please? Oh, that's a popular thing. Men don't do that. It's a weakness if we show or admit that we don't know where we are going. So we always know where we are going because it's an adventure. So you lost. No, it's just an adventure. We are exploring is one of my favorite words. I'm exploring. The same way that when I travel someplace, like on an afternoon, I will never come back the same road because maybe the Samaritans are over there or the thieves are on the road and they want to strip the car. So I go one direction, but I'll never come back that same road. We are exploring. But then there comes a time when we need to get some gas. Then there comes a time where we need to fill up the tank, get the gas, maybe go to the bathroom, or maybe get a snack to eat. And that's one of the most challenging times. Because as I want to buy a snack or get the car filled up with gas, she will say, "I'm going to try and get directions." My response, "Oh, you of little faith." We do have a desire to know and to be in control. I think that's mostly a man thing. We want to be in control all the time. But in general, we want to know things. We don't like the unknown because it's scary. It's uncomfortable, it's uneasy, it can be anxious times in your life because we don't know what's going to happen. Our mind tells us all kinds of things. We don't like being left in the dark, and yet there is so much that we can't control or even have knowledge of. Now just think about that. We're speaking about the unknown, yet we want to be in control. But if I analyze it and I present it to you this morning, I want to present to you how little we are in control of. Very little. For example, how long are you going to live? Do you know? No. So it's an unknown. But yet many people don't think about that. How long am I going to live? Because we want to get on with life. We just live for today. How long am I going to live? How will things turn out for me? For the younger generation, will I fall in love? And then, yeah, well, maybe you'll fall in love, but there's a possibility you're going to fall out of love. So watch out for the falling in love. Will there be enough money for me when I retire? How can I take care of my kids and their college education? What will happen if I get sick and I don't have insurance? When will the social distancing stuff be over? So we go through all those things, and particularly the life we're living in now, the wars. What are we in control of? What are we in control of? Am I in control of my mind, or does my mind control me? And so I go through the questions and I come to the conclusion, like Job answered, I just don't know, God. I don't know. But if I know you, the unknown is easier to handle. If I know you. Life is filled with unknowns. And that's never going to change. And yet life goes on. But there is a way to live life unafraid of an unknown future. And one popular, famous scripture, and we'll look at the context this morning a little bit, is found in Matthew 6, and we're going to go all the way down to 34. That is why I tell you not to worry. Just think about that. Now, we will not ask the question, how many of you have worried this week? Now, in worrying, we are disobeying the word of God, and we're actually sinning when we worry. Because we're not trusting God. And that's why, don't worry. The fish got eaten. I ate Billy Bass. That is why I tell you not to worry. Why? How can you tell me not to? You're not in my position. Are you telling me not to worry? Do not worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, Crossway? And your body more than clothing? And then, of course, hey, look around, son. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in their barns. For your heavenly Father, so there's a relationship here. Not some father, your heavenly Father. Look what he does. Feeds them. And then there's the question after the presentation. Look around. Who feeds them? Your heavenly Father. And then it brings it back home to where you and I am. And he says, but aren't you far more what? Well, you answer that question. Are you more valuable than the birds? Are you more valuable than the flowers? And if your answer is yes, why worry? Why worry? Because he's just given us the example of the birds. And then, of course, the very important question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No, but it can decrease your height. You're carrying the burden, right? As a matter of fact, it can affect your health if you worry. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? So imagine if we had the understanding, the more I worry, the longer I live. How much will you worry? All the time. Or if you worry, it will decrease the length of your life. How much will you worry? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Okay, and then why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. So we're looking at the birds. Now the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. No, they're on government subsidy. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will what? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's one thing to know it. But are you convinced about this? Think that through. He will certainly care for you. And he asks the question, why do you have so little faith? We're not lost. I'm only exploring. Why do you have so little faith? Because we react to circumstances. We react to situations instead of being settled in God. So verse 31, let's say it together, the three words. So, all right, let's go a little bit more intimate. Turn to somebody and point a finger to them and say, don't worry. Now that you've done it, put all 10 fingers to you and say, don't worry. Why? Why? Because your heavenly Father knows what you need. So don't worry about all these things. And yet an important instruction given to us. I would say a command. So don't worry about these things. Say, what will we eat? You don't have to worry. Just come to church on Sundays. What will we drink? Don't worry. Just come to Crossway. What will we wear? Don't worry. Come to Crossway. But notice what it says. Notice what it says. These things that we've just pre-mentioned. These things do what? Dominate who? So what are you? A believer or unbeliever? If you say, I'm a believer, then these things should not dominate your thoughts. Because they dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Because we operate by faith in God. That will never leave us. Never forsake us, will always provide. But will we go through valleys? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can see that. But in the situation, you don't worry. God, you're in control of my life. And that's where you and I got to live in the realm of belief and trust in God. No matter what. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But, and then we come that wording again, your heavenly Father. So you must get to know someone as you face the unknown. And that someone is God. In knowing God, you could face the unknown. Why? Because he's proven himself. Here's the advice. You've got to change attitude. You've got to have a mind reset. You've got to focus on something. Seek the kingdom of God. The things pertaining to God. Seek godliness through Jesus Christ. Above all else, why must you seek the kingdom of God above all else? Because everything else disappears, will fade away. But God never fades. So get the foundation right. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and do what? Hand in hand, you can't separate the two. Cannot. You're seeking to do the things of God, you've got to live righteously. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian and you live like a non-Christian. Doesn't work that way. And then, of course, 34, so don't worry about tomorrow. How many of us worry about, I don't worry about tomorrow. But how many people worry about tomorrow? Many. Many people worry about tomorrow. And oftentimes you worry about something that never even comes your way. So you wasted your time. So don't worry about tomorrow. You've got a challenge, sort it out. You've got problems, let's work together, fix it. But worry? What's it going to do? Zippo. Going to drain your strength. So don't worry about tomorrow, because guess what? Worry will bring its own worry. So why worry when tomorrow can worry about itself? Why must I help tomorrow worry, worry? No, I'm not going to do that. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble, challenges, is enough. I was going to ask you to do something, but I better not do it. Turn to somebody and say, you're a challenge. No, don't do that. Don't. And that person tells you, you're a challenge. Guess what? We are all challenged to each other. Oh, God's put us into this melting pot. What are you doing, God, please? You see, in the unknown, there is someone who can be known. Someone who desires to be known. Someone that when you know them, you can face the unknown with positiveness. I love the scripture in Philippians 3:14. Once I know him, once I've got to know him, Jesus Christ, now I've got a goal. I've got a purpose. I press on toward the goal. So these things of life, they're temporal. I'll deal with it to the best of my ability. I'll make mistakes. I'll get up the dust and dust from the dust and dust the dust off my clothes. But I ain't quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not just lying in the sand. Made a mistake, fix it, get up, let's go forward, because I'm pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And now, to know someone, you can face the unknown. And there's a phenomenal individual in the Old Testament that can help us navigate the unknown a little bit. I wouldn't like to have been in his position, but this phenomenal individual can help you and me navigate the unknown. In Hebrews 8:11, the Message translation puts it this way, by an act of faith. Okay, explain to me, what is an act of faith? What do you think? Believing without seeing, hearing and responding without asking questions? Where are we going? What's the next response we always have? If I say, let's go, what are you going to say? How? When? How far? Why? We're going there. Why? Okay? That's not an act of faith. That's inquisitiveness. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's what? Call to travel where? But did he know God? Something happened in Abraham's life that revolutionized his way of thinking, his behavioral pattern, yet we find within that revolutionary lifestyle, he still doubted and did not fully obey God. Although he said yes. He said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. Where was he? What was his birthplace? Come on, you know that. Ur of the Chaldees. Where was Ur? Iraq. Where was he taking him to? Canaan. Now notice, he's going to travel to an unknown place. He said yes to travel. Now, what do you think the negotiations were like between Abraham and God when God said, Abraham, I want to you to take your family, leave your father, mother, and everybody behind, and off you go to a place where I want you to be. What do you think the negotiations were like? You see, the Bible doesn't tell us that. But yet he was human as you and I am human. And surely if somebody wants to take me somewhere, I want to know when, why, where, how. And who's paying for this trip? Called to travel an unknown place to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had what? You try and do that if you're married. Good luck. Honey, we're going. Where? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Who's coming with us? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How are we getting there? I don't. What do you mean you don't know? I need security. Honey, we're going to trust God. Well, go ahead. I'll catch up. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. Now, Hebrews 11:8 is a reference to Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your... Notice how particular. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, Ur of the Chaldees, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Did he do that? Answer, yes and no. Yes and no. He didn't go all the way where God wanted him. Where did he go? To another place. Now notice, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives. We can go back to 12 verse 1, please. Thanks, Nicole. Yeah, I just wanted to concentrate on this one a little bit. Leave your native country, Ur of the Chaldees, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Okay. Basically, God was telling Abraham to leave everything he's familiar with. Well, Heather and I had to do that when we came here. We had to leave our country and leave everybody behind and everything that we were familiar with to come to this place. We did not ask questions. We just said, yes, sir, 3 bags full. Leave everything that's comfortable and convenient. Walk away from your friends, your family, your security. Start walking and I will tell you when to stop. Try and convince your wife to do that. Please show me how to do that. You start walking until I tell you to stop. Well, this is punishment. When are you going to tell me to stop? I think I'll go 10 yards. Okay, is it time to stop? Well, Abraham had made it right where he was in Ur. He grew up in Ur. Ur was the center of the wealthiest empire on the earth of that time. Iraq. Wealthy, wealthy. The very place where he was living was an up-class place. It was the center of commerce. It was the center of trade. It was also the center of worship, and the main idol worship was the moon god, with all other gods and idols involved as well. The moon god Nana was the main god they would worship. They were the first people to have their own written language, Iraq. You see, we don't know much about other countries apart from our country that's turning 250 years. You love our country? You better say yes. I love this country. But the country is only 250. It's not even, it hasn't even started to change its diapers yet in comparison to other countries like Iraq, like Iran. Persia goes back thousands of years. It was the center of commerce and trade, the first people to have their own written language. They were the first to develop mathematics and the first to become experts in astronomy. As a matter of fact, there's an article that stated that many archaeologists believe that Abraham may have been the very person who introduced the Egyptians to mathematics and astronomy. So there was intelligence. And yet was an intelligent individual that acted by faith when God said, go, and he went, although he only went kind of halfway. We'll get to that in a minute. The city was home to more than 60,000 people. Now you can imagine a 60,000 people. We're living in three rivers of about 2,800 people. We're living in Munson, around Munson, about 8,500 people. We're about 10,000 people, the entire Palmer with all the villages. That's only 10,000. So if we look at a big city of 60,000 people, what do you think there's going to be? There's going to be a big McDonald's on every corner. Yeah. Sure. There most probably will be Dunkin' Donuts on every second corner. You can see the guys that are familiar with those places. You need to eat more healthy. Of all the places, Ur was the place to be in Abraham's day. That was the place to be. Now think about it. And God says to Abraham, walk away. Any volunteers? You settled where you are. God says to you, walk away. How many is walking? Walk away until I tell you to stop. Guess what? No map, no GPS. And I just keep on walking under the direction of God. There were no moving companies. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. The details, completely unknown. Now, he was a familiar figure, a familiar person. When he rallied his family together and started moving, what was the neighborhood thinking? What were his friends thinking? Nuts. He got sunstroke. He should have made the decision in winter, not summer. Yet he went. Nicole, now we go to Genesis 12:4. Remember where he started? Ur of the Chaldees? Iraq? So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went, whoa, 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 who told you to take this addition with? But notice how old he was. Any 75-year-olds that's going to volunteer for this one? Abraham was 75 years old when he left where? Haran or Haran. But he's come from Ur the Chaldees, which is Iraq. Now we find Abraham departed as the Lord instructed. Where's he going now? He left Iran. Haran or Haran. But he came from the Ur. Ur was Iraq. Now you find he's not in Iraq. He's in Turkey. This scripture is written when he was in Turkey. 600 miles away from home. But there's some place he's got to go. He's got to go to the land of Canaan. And he's got to go to the place called Shechem. And that's another 400 miles to Israel. But the journey started. And you and I start on a journey, but that journey is not as the crow flies. Life happens on this journey. For you, for me, we start a journey. But don't think this journey is just going to be a bed of roses. Life happens. And you've got to make adjustments as you go on the journey. And when he gets to Shechem, 400 miles away from Turkey, he builds an altar and he dedicates this altar to the Lord. He must have had some encounter with God to start the journey, to go to Haran, to continue to go to Shechem, to the land of Canaan where God told him to go. He must have had an encounter with God, because if he did not have an encounter with God, the unknown would have eaten him. But he got to know someone who can help him through the unknown. And that's God. And that's where you and me, our journey begins, when we get to know someone to take us through the journey of the unknown. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Important portion of scripture, because there's a word that we need to apply to our lives. It was by what? What is faith? Moving without knowing where you're going. That's faith. Doing without the details. You want to make it work? Sometimes we want to get too much details, and sometimes the details can prevent us from moving. And that's why by faith that Abraham, and there's the word, did what? Obeyed. Could he have disobeyed? And sometimes people will start the journey, but halfway through they disobey. Did he obey all the way? No, he started the journey, but it disobeyed. He didn't go all the way to Shechem. He stopped at Haran. And then we find Lot and his father and everybody. Well, his father died. And then we find there was an entourage. Obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. But I just love the last section. He went without knowing where he was going. How is all this going to pan out? I don't know. But we're going. You want to tell me you don't know how this is going to pan out, but you're going to go? Yeah. If God says it, I'm going to do it. But I do know ultimately, one day when I do die, I will also have my inheritance. So I'm going to follow him. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And when you leave the land of the familiar, guess what happens? When you leave the land of the familiar, when you leave the familiar in your life now, you actually enter the land of faith. Or you start walking in faith, the world of faith. And when you step into the world of faith, you do not know what lies ahead, but you know the one who has sent you. Ultimately, I do know what lies ahead, because he's gone to prepare a place for me. So yes, I do know spiritually what lies ahead. But I didn't know what laid ahead when Heather and I said yes to come to America. We didn't. We had been here just on passing through, and I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but it turned out it was. We didn't know anything. But we knew God had a plan for our lives, and so we took on the plan by faith. And as he did with Abraham, God honors your faith and your obedience. And for our graduates, have faith in God, obey him. Faith in God, in his goodness, allows us to walk obediently and unafraid into an unknown future. But I've also realized that you are with me, because we are humans. Sometimes life can become very confusing. And sometimes we make decisions in the state of confusion, and then that decision is a mistake. And that's why in the time of confusion, you've got to rely on God. You've got to rely on the peace of God inside of you. When life seems confusing, when the circumstances seems to be impossible, the future is unknown. But I want you to know, in the times of confusion, God is there. God will lead you. God will guide you. But you've got to quieten down and listen to his voice. I'll tell you why. When you enter the place of confusion, don't just act in the time of confusion to make somebody happy. You're going to screw up. You're going to screw up. Just know, as a child of God, in the midst of confusion, you can also sing that very old song. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He knows what he's doing. I think it's on the screen. Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know if you've read a book, very interesting book, Holocaust Survivor. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's why it's so important to get to know God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Does he know what he's doing? Yeah. Does he have plans for me? Yeah. But sometimes we step out of line by wanting either to please people or please ourselves. So to wrap this up, God has never promised any of us a detailed 10-year plan. Won't that be nice though? Because we live in an organized world. We want blueprints. We want answers. But God never said to you, this is where I want you to go and here's the details. Because that's walking by sight and not by faith. So why does he not want me to walk by sight? Because he's given me the sight. He's given me the ability to reason. He's given me the ability to make decisions. But yet he doesn't want me to entirely trust that. What must I trust then? He wants me to trust him. And I have learned over the years, I've said this so many times, most of God's instructions doesn't make sense to the human mind. Doesn't. Because he's not in the human capacity. He's God eternal. And we don't know the details of what's going to happen in the future, except what's written in the Word of God. We don't even know what's going to happen later on this afternoon. But we can have a God who we can know. Have a God who has proven to be faithful. Let me quote two more scriptures and we close. Jeremiah. I love this Message translation. Many folks have quoted this in the past. Christians rely a lot on this scripture. I know what I'm doing. Thank goodness somebody knows what he's doing. I know what I'm doing. That's God saying. I have it all planned out. Speaking to the Israelites, but I believe it's applicable to every one of us this morning. I know what I'm doing in your life. I have it all planned. So somebody's got a plan? Yeah, he's got a plan. Plans to take care of you. Do you think he'll do that? Well, he made a promise. I will never. So isn't that a plan to take care of you? I have plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Speaking to the Israelites, but the same to you and me this morning. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Plans to give you the future you hope for. So can I hope for something and still get it if it's within the plan? Yeah. Yeah. Just relax in the plan. And I want to close. Scripture we quote so often, but very little apply. Let's read it together. It's going to help us all. Message translation. Let's read it. Trust God from? Oh, what's the next one? Don't? Say ouch, because you've done it. Listen. Let's read it. Listen. For God's voice. In what? even when you cook. If he's made you mad, just add some stuff in there because you've heard a voice. No, listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will do what? You got an alternative? What's your alternatives? What's your alternatives? Your way. How's that going to work out? Here's one of the most difficult scriptures at times to put into practice. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure it out. We are so good in trying to figure out. And then at times, when we try to figure out, we want to rehash a whole lot of stuff. We're digging the pit deeper and deeper and deeper. Let's start, you know, it's my time's up. I'm still going to say it. And if you get mad, that's fine. I'm so sick and tired of hearing, because I've come from a country where it has become very prominent, how we continue refer back to the history of our country, the past of our country, and there's got to be reparations. Guys, why don't we just start where we are now? We know there was a screw up, but let's start where we are now and build together. Doesn't that make sense? Why are we living? How long are we going to live in the past? How long are we going to rehash the past? What does it do, rehashing the past over and over and over? It prevents you from going forward constructively. Constructively. The same with relationships. I mean, we can rehash the past until we blue in the face. But why don't we start here? Where do we want to go? This is where we want to go. But what about the tomorrow? What about the future? What about us? Come on. And so we get involved in the emotional. Trust God from the bottom of your heart, deep down inside. Don't try to figure it out. Everything on your own. Figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice. He speaks to the inside in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. For the married people, you've got a double whammy. God will keep you on track, and your wife will keep you on track. The unknown does not have to be daunting. Why not? I know in whom I believe. Can we pray?